have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. I want to begin by apologizing for earlier in the service. Typically, the pastor is the one that says, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. And Howard, thank you for pointing that out. And so, you know, I feel like it kind of snuck up on us there, but thank you. But I was wondering if we could do that just one more time. Christ is risen. There we go. Now, most of you were there, but I get to see you, which is great. And so I'm going to give you one note. Let's do a little bit more enthusiasm in this one. Okay, so with enthusiasm, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
There we go. See, we're awake now. You were also quiet at the beginning of the service. We're getting there. But it's sometimes hard to be enthusiastic this day. Right? It's the same story every year. And Easter doesn't give us many definitive answers. If anything, it just gives us more questions. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. The Lord was nowhere to be found. And Mary was beside herself in grief. And if we were to put ourselves in this position, we might even say angry or enraged. Someone had denigrated the burial place of not only her teacher, but her beloved friend. She knew what happened. Someone had taken the Lord from the tomb, and she needed others to help find the body. And so she immediately runs and tells Simon and Peter and this other disciple. And her words are like a starting gun to a race. And Simon and Peter and this other disciple take off for the tomb. And it says that the other disciple won that race. And they realize Mary's words are true. But it's a very odd scene. The body is indeed missing, but if someone had come in to desecrate the tomb, why was the face covering of Jesus neatly folded on the place he laid? The two male disciples return, but Mary stays behind. She can't leave the scene. And we may be able to relate to why. Outside the tomb, she is crying. The tomb is empty. How could they take his body? He was dead. What were they going to do with it? Who would do something this awful? Were the insults and beatings and crucifixion not enough to quench their hate that they had to take the body to? Life just goes from bad to worse. And who could blame Mary for thinking this? After all, she had witnessed the way those in power exercised hate and violence on an unarmed, nonviolent, peace-protesting man. And just because people were feeling a sense of hope and beginning to imagine a world where everyone had what they needed to thrive, they stepped in. Of course they could stoop lower, thought Mary. Of course they were capable of taking this one step further. And so Mary is convinced that someone has taken the body. And if we're being honest, we too are often convinced. We are convinced that there are certain people that are beyond redemption. We are convinced that there are unjust systems beyond saving or capable of doing any good. We are convinced that our lives go from one hardship to the next. and it will never be resolved. This past Friday, some of us gathered here to tell the story of Jesus on the cross. And when the tomb was sealed, we were convinced, like Mary, that death had won. Mary is convinced because, look, the tomb is empty. Where is the Lord? Where is the body? And she has no other frame of reference to make sense of it. And then Mary turns around. She changes her perspective. She does not focus on the tomb. She turns and is standing in front of a gardener. Remember, she is convinced. She is so certain that not only is Jesus dead, but that the story will get worse from here, and she cannot recognize who is in front of her. Sometimes we are convinced that things will only get worse in our lives or in our world, that we cannot recognize or read the reality of God's living presence. Even when we aren't focused on the tomb, we look at everything and everyone with a little lens of skepticism, doubt, us versus you. Even when we look upon Jesus himself, we can't recognize him. How we, like Mary, are unaware of God at work in our lives and in those we meet each day. And so desperate, she asked the man whom she believes to be the gardener, maybe a gardener that disturbs graves, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus responds, "Mary. Mary." John chapter 10 says, "He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out, and sheep follow him because they know his voice." Jesus responds, "Mary." And remember, Mary was looking at the tomb crying. Then she turned to the gardener, and now the scripture says, at the sound of her name, Mary turns again. Although she does not turn in direction, but she turns her heart. She turns toward God, a turning toward reality of who really is in front of her, and her eyes are open, and immediately she is convinced, "Teacher, he's alive." And in that moment, Mary receives a new prescription for her glasses. In that moment, Mary's outlook on life will forever change. And never again can she say, "It's all over." Never can she say, "I am all alone." Never can she say, "Hate and violence have the final word." Even in death, life. Jesus was dead. He is standing in front of her. Those that thought they could silence Jesus by killing him failed. The good news lives. It came back on that first Easter. Some of you know that I'm a huge baseball fan. I grew up watching Cleveland baseball. And when people ask me why I became a pastor, I give a lot of credit to the 1995 Cleveland team. This will age me, but I don't care. I was 5 years old in 1995. And on summer nights, my entire family would be watching these games together. And for you Reds fans out there, 95 was an amazing year. There were 100 wins, 44 losses in the regular season. But that's not what made this amazing. What made this team amazing was that they were never out of a ball game. If you were an opposing team and you needed one more out in the ninth inning, you were shaking. That year, Cleveland totaled 48 come-from-behind victories. That is one in every three games. 27 wins were in their final at-bat. Years later, first baseman Jim Thome recalled we were never really out of any game. And that's how we, the players, felt. That's how our coaches felt. Our manager felt it. And then ultimately, our fans felt it. And so when I played Little League and played a little bit in high school, if we had one out left, miracles could happen. Easter is believing in comebacks. Easter is knowing that when you may be down and out right now, you may be on a cross right now, you may be crying outside the tomb, and you may think it's all over, but where others put a period, God has placed a comma. Resurrection is a part of life's journey, and when we, like Mary, hear our name, which is being called, we can believe and say, yes, Christ has risen indeed. We are never out of a ball game. And in the words of Chumbawamba, I get knocked down, but I get up again. Because of Easter, we can hold on to hope that God's work toward justice never ends. And Mary carried that Easter message to the grieving disciples. They listened, were comforted and hopeful, and convinced, they believed and shared with others, I have seen the Lord. Then they shared it, and here we are over 2,000 years later. Earlier, I gave you a note to use enthusiasm. And while enthusiasm means with excitement or lively, literally means filled with God. En theo, in God, filled with God. And to say those words enthusiastically would be to say them from the God in us that is always within us, just like the geode. When we can say it and believe it, Easter is proclaimed in the way that we live. And it not only transforms us, but those around us for God's glory. Christ has risen.
Christ has risen indeed.
Amen. Let us join in our following hymn, This is the Day.